Thank you, Father. We do thank you that your lavish grace and peace are poured into our lives, often to overflowing. How wonderful it is that long before you laid earth's foundations, you had us in mind. How grateful we are that we human beings are the focus of your love, and that your deep desire and predetermined aim is to make us whole and holy like yourself. How we rejoice that because of the sacrifice of Jesus the Messiah, we are a free people, loosed from every just punishment listed against us by our often deliberate misdeeds. And we are not just barely free either, but abundantly free. Thank you, Father. You have thought of everything ahead of time and provided for everything we could possibly need. Amen. Hello, I'm Keith Nolan, and I'd like to thank you for sharing with me in this brief meditation, this living letter. We're going to invest a little time in thinking of the wonderfully rich Bible phrase, "Be of good cheer." It's a phrase that occurs 8 times in the Authorised Version, and we can place it under 3 headings. First, there's the "be of good cheer" concerning forgiveness of sins. Spiritually speaking, this comes first because it's the most important. In Matthew 9, some friends bring a man to Jesus, and the second verse tells us that Jesus, seeing their faith, says to the man, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Second, there's the "be of good cheer" of the Master's presence among his close friends who are on a boat during a particularly frightening storm. Amazingly, says the record, he comes to them walking on the sea. The story goes on to say that the disciples, scared half out of their wits, imagine he's a ghost and cry for fear. So Jesus calls across to them saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." You can read the whole account in Matthew 14. We have a similar message in Acts 23, where the Apostle Paul, a prisoner of Rome, but really of the Lord, and therefore in the centre of God's plan, however things may have looked, finds himself in a ship in a terrifying storm over many days and nights. It's thought by some scholars to be one of the most graphic descriptions of a storm at sea and of a shipwreck that's to be found in all ancient literature. An angel, a spirit being, appears to him and says that all will be well. And to reinforce the angel's word, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome." And of course he does, even though the boat is a complete write-off. Thank God everyone was saved, though, just as the angel had said. Third, there's the "be of good cheer" of consolation. It's in John 16. And includes Christ's call to his people to be courageous even in the most troublesome times. In the world, he says, you will experience tribulation. Of course, the world may have many wonderful, even inspiring aspects. Even so, nothing here is perfect. All falls short of God's glorious ideal. Many, as we know, are as godless as they dare to be, even deliberately opposing the Almighty's message of love. Yet it is possible, the Master says, for those walking the Christ way to enjoy unshakable assurance and the Lord's own deep tranquility. Take heart, he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And as we live, enveloped by and filled with his presence, we too will be turned into overcomers. You may have noticed we can boil these 3 thoughts down to just 2. 1, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. And 2, Be of good cheer, the Master is with you, however bad things may appear to be. How can you know your sins are forgiven? John the Baptizer gives an all-inclusive and prophetic witness when he points to Jesus during one of his fiery outdoor sermons and says of the Lord that he is God's Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. It's also clear on another occasion, it's in John chapter 4, that many in the crowd saw Jesus as the Christ, the Saviour of the world. They dared to say so, much to the consternation of their sectarian religious leaders. They, the religious leaders, found it impossible to think outside their denominational, fundamentalist, literalistic, theological boxes. Jesus himself tells his disciples that he is to lay down his life. He calls it giving his flesh for the life of the world. This text is in John chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Message paraphrase puts it like this. The apostle says, God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. The Authorised Version bluntly yet beautifully says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. There are some deep and precious truths in the Apostle John's first letter. Here's an inspiring and helpful sample from chapter 4. Verses 12 to 15 in the Message paraphrase. I think you'll agree that its modern, even racy, 21st century language is easy to understand. The Apostle says, no one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. This is how we know we are living steadily and deeply in him and he in us. He has given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Saviour of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we are free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. Isn't this wonderful? These words are well worth returning to again and again. They are spiritual gems. Make them your own. The message they contain is not only that the Lord Jesus is the Saviour of the world, but also that we can be of good cheer, whatever our circumstances, however things may appear. Therefore, in wishing you God's rich blessing in every part of your life, I'd like to encourage you, as one anonymous poet has put it, to spin cheerfully, not tearfully. Though wearily you plod, spin carefully, spin prayerfully, but leave the thread with God. He shuttles of his purpose move to carry out his own design. Seek not too soon to disapprove his work, nor yet assign dark motives when with silent dread you view each sombre fold. For lo, within each darker thread there twines a thread of gold. He knows the way you plod. Spin carefully, spin prayerfully, but leave the thread with God. So, be of good cheer as you live in daily fellowship with the Master. and may God bless and keep you.